The two-lead jet swooped low, dipping gracefully toward the town. They were seemingly inches above the ground as they began to release the phosphorus bombs. As each struck the ground, a blazing white-hot sphere went up, bathing the town in an unearthly glaring light and reflecting off the metal underbellies of the plains. The jets climbed, their runs finished, but Samuel Gunner Wilson, flying the sleek black scavenger, the operational version of the X-18, did not see them. His entire attention, his mind and his body, was focused on the town.
All yours, Gunner.
Wilson did not answer. He dropped his nose, cracked down his flaps, and felt a shudder as the plane sank, sickeningly like a stone toward the ground. The plane was fitted with two side-slung 16-millimeter cameras, one for the visible spectrum and one for low-frequency radiation. In addition, it had a center-mount Homan's infrared multi-spec camera, as well as the usual electronic and radio detection gear. Gunner pressed the camera buttons and felt, rather than heard, the vibrating whir of the cameras. For a long moment he continued to fall, and then he shoved the stick forward and the plane seemed to catch in the air to grab and lift and climb. He had a fleeting glimpse of the main street. He saw bodies. Bodies everywhere, spread-eagled, lying in the streets, across cars.
"Jesus," he said.
And then he was up, still climbing, bringing the plane around in a slow arc, preparing for the descent into his second run and trying not to think of what he had seen. One of the first rules of air reconnaissance was ignore the scenery. Analysis and evaluation were not the job of the pilot. That was left to the experts. And pilots who forgot this, who became too interested in what they were photographing, got into trouble. Usually they crashed. As the plane came down into a flat second run, he tried not to look at the ground. But he did, and again saw the bodies. The phosphorus flares were burning low. The lighting was darker, more sinister and subdued. But the bodies were still there. He had not been imagining it.
"Jesus," he said again. "Sweet Jesus."
The sign on the door said Data Prosex Epsilon, and underneath in red lettering, admission by clearance card only. Inside was a comfortable sort of briefing room, screen on one wall, a dozen steel tubing and leather chairs facing it, and a projector in the back. When Manchek and Comro entered the room, Jaggers, the technician, was already waiting for them, standing at the front of the room by the screen. Jaggers rubbed his hands as Manchek and Comro sat down.
"Well then," he said, "might as well get right to it. I think we have something to interest you tonight."
He nodded to the projectionist in the back.
"First picture."
The room lights darkened, there was a mechanical click, and the screen lighted to show an aerial view of a small desert town.
"This is an unusual shot. From our files, taken 2 months ago from Janos 12, our recon satellite, you can see the town here. Not too much to look at, even from 187 miles.
Another click. This was dark, with a reddish tint, and was clearly an overview of the town. The outlines of the buildings were very dark.
"We begin here with the scavenger jet's IR plates. These are infrared films, as you know, which produce a picture on the basis of heat instead of light. Anything warm appears white on the picture. Anything cold is black."
"What are those white spots?" Comro said. "There were 40 or 50 white areas on the film."
"Those," Jagger said, "are bodies. Some inside houses, some in the street. By count, they number 50.
At that moment, a private entered the room with three circular metal canisters under his arm.
"Sir, we have films of the direct visualization by the pilot."
"Run them," Manchek said.
The screen showed the town bathed in glaring white light as the plane came down over it. The bodies were clearly visible. Manchek got up and walked close to the screen, peering off to one side.
"Look at this,"
he said, pointing to a figure. It was a man in knee-length white robes standing and looking up at the plane. He was an old man with a withered face. His eyes were wide. Jagger smiled bleakly.
"The man looks alive to me, sir."
"Yes," Manchek said crisply. "He certainly does."
And with that, he walked out of the room. As he left, he paused and announced that he was declaring a state of emergency.